Hello, and welcome to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios in Flagstaff. At Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, we would like to offer you information to improve your health by considering various lifestyle options. Our articles come from different sources, which we will always identify. The information presented is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your medical doctor or other healthcare professional with whom you consult. Here are some articles on whole food plant-based nutrition. And the first one comes from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. The title is The Ethics and Science of a Pure Vegan Diet by T. Colin Campbell, PhD, February 7, 2025. What are the benefits of pure vegetarian or vegan diets? How about a whole food plant-based lifestyle? What threshold of so-called purity must you reach to optimize your health? The answer depends on your perspective. If you are choosing to avoid animal products for ethical reasons, I would think that you would want to be as close to 100% as possible. But what about those choosing whole food plant-based nutrition for health reasons? For years, I have answered this question simply. The closer we get to 100% of a whole food plant-based lifestyle, the healthier we will be. It may, however, surprise some to learn that I am not aware of any verifiable evidence that 100% purity is needed to optimize health for all people at all times. The reason I recommend getting as close to 100% whole food plant-based as possible is that dietary additions to dietary fat or refined carbohydrates, for example, make it difficult for us to eat only small amounts of unhealthy foods while remaining on the whole food plant-based path. In many ways, it can be easier to transition fully rather than 90%. We understand this intuitively from other health and lifestyle choices. We would probably not recommend someone to cut down to 1/10 as many cigarettes as before they decided to quit smoking, because we know that as long as some fragment of the unhealthy habit remains, they may be at risk of reverting. Our dietary choices are similar. Tastes change more completely with a prolonged absence of addictive substances. No, not veganism. Despite recommending a lifestyle as close to 100% whole food plant-based as possible, I have tended to avoid the words vegan and vegetarian because these practices have mostly been driven by ideologies based on ethical considerations. While those ethical considerations are praiseworthy and sufficient rationales for many people, my motivation for questioning the standard American diet, or SAD, is based on science. I was not even aware of these words when I began my experimental research program more than 60 years ago. I was only interested in scientific research, and I had been raised to believe meat, milk, and eggs deserved their place at the center of our plates. When our studies started to indicate a very different and provocative conclusion on the health value of animal protein, I was prompted to seek a new label. For although this new evidence tended toward the health benefits of vegetarian and vegan practices, it was not identical to those diets. Vegetarians consume animal products like dairy and eggs, and some who identify as vegetarian even occasionally eat fish. Vegans avoid all animal products, but their diets often include highly processed products made with refined carbohydrates, added fat, and excess salt. In contrast, our research suggested the benefits of a more wholesome dietary lifestyle with lower amounts of fat and more whole foods. The term whole food plant-based reflects this nutrient composition far better than either of the V words. Another reason for my reluctance to use those words is that vegetarianism, and even more so veganism, was a very contentious subject up through the early 1990s, when our evidence was gaining a wider audience. I wanted to signal to skeptics that my scientific inquiries were driven by curiosity and research, not animal welfare concerns. During this time, the New York Times reported on our findings in a lead article in the science section, and several physicians, including McDougall, Esselstyn, and Ornish, reached out to tell me about their impressive findings with human patients, plus helping to corroborate our research. Applying the evidence. Choosing what to eat based on the evidence is a matter of personal choice. Although the evidence is certainly impressive, we need not exaggerate that evidence. I prefer not to say that any scientific investigation can give us absolute proof. Proof is too certain of a word. I prefer to evaluate scientific evidence based on its weight, how much evidence there is, how varied it is, how big the effects are, and whether it is relevant for humans. The next section of this article talks about three charts, and I'm sorry that you can't see the charts, but I would like to read the script that goes along with them. A wide, impressive variety of evidence supports my earlier statement that the closer we get to whole food plant-based lifestyle, the healthier we will be, but evidence is only ever supportive. The data below offer some supporting evidence for diets that approach a 100% plant-based composition. These charts show the association between breast cancer mortality and three kinds of dietary fat in various countries. In chart A, total fat, both animal and plant, is shown. Chart B shows the saturated fat composition, which comes mostly from animal-based foods. Chart C shows polyunsaturated fat composition, which mostly comes from plant foods. Notice the relationship between fat and breast cancer mortality in charts A, B, and the lack of a relationship in chart C. This seemingly suggests that the impressive correlation between total fat and breast cancer is due to saturated fat, typically provided by animal-based foods, rather than unsaturated fat, typically provided by plant-based foods. This information did not make a lot of sense when it was first published, because there was also evidence showing that plant fat, i.e. oils, caused breast cancer to develop much more effectively than animal fat. However, this contradiction only occurred when total fat consumption was high, as is typical for Western diets. Something more is needed. Saturated fat and animal protein are highly correlated. The relevant correlation is with animal-based foods. Notice also the regression line in chart B for animal-based foods passes through the origin, which is zero, thus suggesting that breast cancer risk increases even with minimal amounts of animal-based food. But this association is not only the effect of increased animal food intake. When animal food becomes a larger share of the diet, plant-based food simultaneously becomes a lesser share. Together, these changes, comprising countless nutrients, are associated with an increased risk of breast cancer and many other degenerative diseases. This still does not prove causality, but is nonetheless supportive. A similar case can be made with our China Project data, in which serum cholesterol ranged from 90 to 170 milligrams per deciliter. The lower end of this range would be considered extremely low. To illustrate, the typical range in the U.S. is about 170 to 270 milligrams per deciliter. Our data indicated that even small increases in animal protein consumption in China were associated with increasing serum cholesterol. In reality, small amounts of animal-based food consumption in rural China are associated with increased risks for breast cancer and other Western diseases. The same is true with the U.S. and other Western countries with a much higher range of serum cholesterol and animal protein consumption. In other words, the findings are consistent. Whether a population eats only small amounts of animal foods or a greater amount. The findings are particularly impressive when supported by multiple mechanisms explaining a powerful animal protein effect on cancer formation. With benefits so broad and convincing, with little or no downside, why would one not choose this diet? Additionally, we now have data showing that intervention with this diet can produce broad, dynamic effects in a short period. That is not to say that we have factual evidence that the whole food plant-based diet always works for everyone and for all conditions. It is only, as I said above, a matter of weighing the evidence. Said another way, the odds of achieving health, both short and long term, with the whole food plant-based lifestyle are so high that it seems foolish not to use it. This is especially true when we broaden our scope to include other considerations, such as environmental problems, healthcare costs, and unnecessary violence toward other sentient beings. The enslavement of animals on factory farms, as if animals are mere mechanical robots waiting for slaughter, is a far cry from my experiences growing up on a dairy farm, where our animals had names, green pastures, and personalities. Nevertheless, I find it counterproductive to rely solely on ethical arguments for a whole food plant-based diet. Strategies that involve trying to make other people feel unethical can easily backfire. Critically, trying to defend the ethical view by incorrectly saying that science has proven the health benefits of a 100% vegan diet is also a counterproductive approach. Much of the reluctance of my research colleagues to even be curious about this evidence relates to their belief that a whole food plant-based dietary lifestyle is just a vegan diet in disguise. Many scientists are also understandably wary of claims about certain proof. It is not that traditional scientists uniformly avoid or reject the ethical issues surrounding vegan and vegetarian practices, but these practices are not based on acceptable science. To some extent, I can understand these scientists' concerns. When I browse the internet for information on vegetarian and vegan diets, I find far too much of it uninformed and superficial. It may be hearsay or not professionally published. It may lack primary referencing, or it may be biased by blatant commercial interests, for example, supplement sales. What I am most concerned about, however, is the unwillingness to engage in discourse that challenges our views, and that goes for both plant-based enthusiasts and trained science professionals. Good science involves being open to information that challenges one's own views, as well as dominant institutional and cultural views. In the spirit of good science, I propose that we remain open to the numerous good reasons for choosing a whole food plant-based lifestyle: environmental, financial, health, ethical, and more. Successfully advancing the case for whole food plant-based nutrition will likely require a more comprehensive message. We have no reason to needlessly limit ourselves to only one point of view, especially if that viewpoint is based solely on personal values and absolutes. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you whole food plant-based nutrition. Next, we'll turn to Forks Over Knives, Weekly News Bites. Welcome to Weekly News Bites, our editor's weekly roundup of news, book releases, and cool products that grabbed our attention this week. University of Colorado Boulder named top U.S. university for plant-based dining options. More than 50% of Colorado University Boulder's menu options are vegetarian. The Humane Society of the United States evaluated 31 universities for their 2025 Protein Sustainability Scorecard. Other A-plus schools trailing just behind CU Boulder are the University of North Texas, the University of Texas Austin, and the University of Michigan Ann Arbor. Could flossing your teeth reduce your stroke risk? Preliminary research presented this week at the American Stroke Association Conference in Los Angeles suggests flossing at least once a week makes a difference. Corn milk has entered the chat. Billed as the world's first milk alternative made from non-GMO corn, international brand Maizly, which is M-A-I-Z-L-Y, is now available in the United States. Cheers to the 8 grams of fiber per serving. Jeers to the 6 grams of saturated fat from coconut oil. And that was this week's Weekly News Bites from Forks Over Knives. And also from Forks Over Knives, 5 Ways to Make Healthy Eating Habits Stick by Michaela Carlson, PhD, MSPH, January 3rd, 2025. We know that most fad diets won't work, and sustaining a diet for the long term is where the rubber meets the road for many people. After the initial burst of enthusiasm and good intentions have worn off, a new diet gets harder and harder to maintain. What can we rely on to stay on track in those moments in the grocery store, at work, at friends' houses, and even at home? Success comes when our behaviors change from intentional to automatic. In other words, when we stop thinking about what we're doing and can act on impulse. Here are 5 tips to strengthen your habit forming around healthy eating and make your transition sustainable and permanent. Number 1, avoid making decisions as much as possible. Making decisions is where the diet changes often break down in practice, and the average person makes about 200 food-related decisions daily. All these decisions can lead to decision fatigue, which erodes your willpower. Try to set up your life so that your food-related decisions are minimized, and the healthiest choice is also the easiest. How to do this? Stock your house and kitchen with healthy food and be as consistent with your intentions as much as you can, such as by bringing food with you during errands and trips so you don't need to forage in a gas station, and keeping food that you like in your desk at work so that you don't have to resort to the vending machine or unhealthy snacks laying around the office. 2, when decisions are needed, try to make them in advance. The challenge to fully getting out of the pleasure trap is that addictive foods can feel good in the immediate moment. That's why people who create implementation intentions tend to be more successful at creating new habits than those who don't. This means making a plan with yourself before you get to the decision-making point. Going out to eat with friends on Friday? Look at the restaurant's menu online and figure out what you're going to order in advance. When you get there, enjoy the company and don't spend your energy and time figuring out how to navigate the menu. 3, change your environment to break bad habits. Breaking a habit is hard when you're accustomed to behaving in a certain way in a certain context. But even making changes to your environment that don't seem food-related can help you in interrupting your typical patterns. When you're starting a new behavior, try shopping in a new grocery store or rearranging your furniture. These physical changes can help you shift your feeling about what is normal, which can help make other changes seem normal too. 4, don't let yourself get too hungry. Practicing self-control and the capacity for it are both correlated with stored glucose levels in the brain. That means making decisions can make you tired, and it also takes energy and contribute to getting hungrier. Even cravings can be intensified, as researchers have long noted, in the context of studying withdrawal. The moral story? Plan ahead and bring snacks so you can avoid feeling hangry the moment when you're most likely to veer off course. 5, focus on supporting yourself in the first few weeks. The good news about diet and habits is that most behaviors repeated on a regular basis turn into habits. While intentions matter at the beginning of a new behavior, they matter less and less as habits become stronger. Plus, simply repeating a behavior will strengthen the automaticity with which you do it. So at the beginning of any dietary change, know that the first few weeks will take some work. But if you can support yourself in as many ways as possible so you repeat the behavior as frequently as possible, you will be paid back as it becomes a habit that much more quickly. Besides, doing the four things listed above, supporting yourself could also mean connecting with other plant-based eaters, journaling about your experiences, or using a reminder or scheduling app on your phone. Just do what works for you and what will help keep you on track. The longer you eat plant-based, the more automatic and easier it will be. So you'll need to rely less and less on these strategies to stay on track. Once you're in a routine of plant-based eating, you won't have to stop to think about it, and you can just enjoy being a healthier, happier, and more effective person in the world. You have been listening to Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, wishing you a healthy and happy rest of your day. And now stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.